Join me in Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. In your pew Bible, that would be page 367. Hear this word from the Holy Scriptures. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. I said to you, 'I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live.' But you have not listened to me." The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak of Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is Peace," to this day, and it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. That same night, the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord, your God, on top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering." So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. In the morning when the men of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished, with the Asherah pole beside it cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, "Who did this?" When they carefully investigated, they were told, "Gideon, son of Joash, did it." The men of the town demanded of Joash, "Bring out your son, he must die, because he hath broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it." But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, "Are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when someone else breaks down his altar." So that day they called Gideon Jerub Baal, saying, "Let Baal contend with him, because he broke down Baal's altar. Now all the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet summoning the Abiezrites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also into Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, so that they too went up to meet them. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand as you said." And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew." That night God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. Familiar story to us. Many of us have heard the story of Gideon many times. You've no doubt probably heard the book of Job, referred to as the book of patience or the patience of Job. Well, just maybe it's this chapter that should be considered the teaching of patience. And it's not the patience of Job or Gideon that we see here, but it is the patience of God himself. It's the patience of God that we see at the forefront here of this chapter. Throughout the passage, as we have read repeatedly, Gideon asks God for a sign. He asks God to wait. Repeatedly, Gideon asks God to prove himself. And repeatedly, God is patient with Gideon. Because, you see, God doesn't mind humbling himself for the needs of his people. God is not ashamed to stoop down and reassure his people. And we see him doing it here with Gideon many times. Let's take a look through this story. The beginning is not a surprise to us. Once again, Israel does evil in the eyes of God. And here we see the Midianites, this time, coming and taking over the land. And it's not a simple coming and taking over the land. It is a pillaging. It is a destroying, taking advantage of, and completely destroying the land as they camp and take over the crops and the fields. And once again, Israel does evil in the eyes of God. But something different happens this time. The repeated action of sending a judge immediately to respond to the actions of Israel, that routine is broken. This time, God sends a prophet. A prophet to tell them why they were in the position they found themselves in. A prophet to tell them again the mighty acts of God. Look with me again at verse 7. When the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says." And, as we have seen in other passages, the prophet goes through the actions of God to remind the people what God has done for them. And this is incredibly important. This is something the people probably have not heard to this degree from a prophet in quite a long time. And now they know the difference. And now they know why they are being overtaken by their enemies. It is just a few simple words in the end of verse 10. But you have not listened to me. But you have not listened to me. What we see here going on between the people of Israel and the prophet is the difference between ignorance and wisdom. Ignorance is not knowing. We can be ignorant of many things. If we do not know the whys of a particular situation, then we would claim to be ignorant, and we could have very little action to correct whatever situation is at hand. But when we are informed, if we care, then we can take action. Gideon asked the question, Lord, have you forgotten us? Why are we in this place? You see, Gideon could not plead ignorance any longer. He has been informed. He has been told why God has turned from the Israelites. This is what the Word of God is all about. Why did God give us His Word? Why did God give us a Bible? Why did God not simply take action to redeem us and to tell us to live happily ever after? Why do we have His Word? Because we are an intelligent people. And God wants us to be informed. Just as the prophet came to Gideon and says, here is what God has done, and here is why you find yourself in your position. This is what preaching is all about. Preaching is revelation. Preaching is revealing what God has said. This is why I personally spend so much time in the details of the Scripture. Many of you have commented, Pastor Tim, you spend too much time teaching rather than just telling us. Well, there is an object here. It is to be informed. I don't want you to be ignorant of the ways of God. I don't want you to be ignorant of the ways of God and therefore being ignorant of yourself, of ourselves. Here in the 6th chapter of Judges, unlike we see in other places in this book, we see a prophet coming to the people and saying, this is why. This is why. This is why you find yourself being taken over by your enemies, because you've not listened. You've not listened. There's another surprising thing here we find in the book of Judges. After this decree that you have not listened, we would assume or expect that there would be a judgment, a further taking over by the Midianites. But that's not what we see. Gideon hears the most wonderful words a human being can ever hear. The angel of the Lord goes to Gideon and said, Gideon, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. As a human being, those are the most powerful words you will ever hear. The Lord is with you. But Gideon has a question. Gideon has a question. Verse 13. If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all His wonders that our fathers have told us about? Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in this hand of Midian. You see, Gideon is blaming God. Gideon is blaming God for their position. And so he asks, God, where are you? Why have you left us here? If you're so great and awesome, and we are in fact your people, why have you left us here? How many of you have asked the same question? How many of us have asked the same question? God, where are you? God, where are you? The Lord's patience is revealed once more. He said, am I not sending you, Gideon? Verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? This sounds very familiar to the words Jesus gave us in the Great Commission. He said, go and make disciples. The angel told Gideon, go and conquer the Midianites. And I am with you. Jesus tells you the same thing. Go. Go. Go in your strength. Go in what I have given you and do that which I've given. And I'm always with you. Then we see Gideon falling into what I would call his Moses interpretation. How can I save Israel? My clan is the smallest. I'm the smallest. How can I go and do this? How can I go and save a group like this and Midian who have come and taken over the land? How can I do this? I would say the same thing to us. How can we do? We ask the same question. God, you've given me this to do. How can I do this? But God answers, Gideon, go in my strength. Gideon, I am sending you. So Gideon was actually right. He couldn't do it. But poor Gideon is not yet finished trying the patience of God. He asks him to show him another sign. This time he asks for the fleece to be wet, the fleece to be dried, and he shows him that, and he prepares him to go out and do the battle. And he goes out and he fights and he defeats the Midianites. But what I see in this chapter time and time and time again is Gideon being patient or addressing the patience of God. And God is patient with him. And God shows himself repeatedly to Gideon, and Gideon defeats his enemies. But please look with me at the end of chapter 8, if you would turn over. Verse 22. Gideon has come through this great battle. He has gone out and he has chosen thousands and thousands of men. He goes through the process of God actually reducing his numbers. There was too many. And so God takes him to the 300 that goes out and defeats the Midianites. Gideon returns to his people. He returns to his people a warrior, a great champion. And in chapter 8, verse 22, the Israelites said to Gideon, rule over us, you, your son, and your grandson, because you have saved us out of the hand of Midian. But Gideon told them, I will not rule over you, nor will my son rule over you. The Lord will rule over you. And he said, I have one request, that each of you give me an earring from your share of the plunder. It was the custom of the Ishmaelites to wear gold earrings. They answered, we'll be glad to give them. So they spread out a garment, and each man threw a ring from his plunder onto it. The weight of gold rings He asked came to 1,700 shekels, not counting the ornaments, the pendants and the purple garments worn by the king of Midian, or the chains that were on the camels' necks. Gideon made a gold into an ephod, which he placed at Ophrah. All Israelite prostituted themselves by worshiping it there, and it became a snare to Gideon and his family. Why? We all know the story of Gideon well, that he went out and defeated the Midianites. God showed him repeatedly who he was. Why would Gideon revert to such as this? You know, it's easy to be involved in the ministry when there's a lot of attention given to those who lead. This past weekend, we went to Biloxi, and it was a pinnacle of an experience. Oftentimes when the guys would go off to Promise Keepers years ago, I would tell the guys, it's a great experience, but when you come back, be careful. Because when the lights are down and the attention is moved and you come back and you revel in the time, Satan is waiting, waiting, waiting. It's easy to be involved in ministry and leading God's people when all the attention is focused on you. But then after the time is over and we come back and we get involved in the daily activities of life, Satan is there. Gideon had every reason to be identified and named as one of the greatest warriors in the text. He had a bit of an issue of trusting God. And he would ask him time and time again, prove to me you are who you are. I can't help but to think many times we're right there. I've seen God work so many ways, but yet I ask the question, God, is that really your idea? Is that really your work? Is that what you want me to do? From this text, I would encourage you to keep your eyes on God and in His ways and know that God is in fact God. And He will carry us through the times. But when we go out into the culture, don't leave Him behind. Gideon did. Gideon was actually renamed Jerub-Baal. Jerub-Baal. In chapter 9, we will see his son referred to as the son, not of Gideon, but of Jerub-Baal. Not a very good legacy. God is in fact patient. God is in fact humble. God doesn't mind lower himself to his people. Jesus Christ, the Son, did it on the cross for you. He's not ashamed to stoop down and reassure. But we have to do our part and hold to our commitment to the things of which God has given us.